And so, Lord, we desire to glorify you in our unity and oneness as we open our hearts to allow the Word of God to do that work within us. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I have, as usual, a title that I believe the Lord gives us in which he wants us to address and talk on. And we're calling this teaching today, Nothing is by Chance with God. Nothing is by chance with God. And of course, I'm going to base this and start this with something we know so well in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 to 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 to 30. And we will read this verse and we will then let the Holy Spirit teach us what he wants us to know. And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. And that is why we're calling our teaching today, Nothing is by Chance with God. Not when you read this. And the apostle opens with this, with what he's been talking about in Romans 8. He's saying that we know that all things work together for good. So he's saying here, if you don't know this, then you are going to know this in time. If you walk with the Lord and you have been called by God from the foundation of the world, there is something the Holy Spirit is going to work within each of us that you will have that knowing in your heart that is revealed to you by the Spirit, that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So we are here today, fellowshipping, listening to this word for his purpose. It wasn't in us. We didn't choose this. This chose us to come into his presence in unity and oneness like we are today for his purpose. Because he says, for whom he foreknew, so he knows all things, he has predestined all things to be conformed, what? To what you want, your desires, what you like? No, conform to the image of his Son. Everything is done for his Son and in the image of his Son. Why does he use the image of his Son? Because that is what you are now, recreated new, a new creation. You are now in his image. The one who has gone before, the forerunner, who has now been put to death and has been risen and raised and raised up into glory in his new humanity, in his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is what he's saying here, with regard that we know that all things work together for good. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called, whom he called, He also justified whom he justified, these he also glorified. So look at the whole work of what we know that works together for good. We know that by the mercy of God we have been called from the foundation of the world, which he reveals here in verse 13. You have a calling upon your life. Even if you're called to be the first fruits unto him, even called to be the five wise virgins, if you know you're a wise virgin because you're making yourself ready with that wisdom that the wise virgin is to have, you know that there is a calling upon you because you have been justified. What does it mean to be justified? You have been declared right before God. He has given you a standing before him through his blood. And those he will glorify. So we see this wonderful calling. We call this God's eternal plan or the decrees of God. And it's interesting that in scriptures we see, don't we, this eternal plan. And we call this, which we've been showing you here, predestination. It is God's sovereign eternal plan by which he foreordained all things that come to pass. Nothing can ever happen that God did not foreordain. Nothing you go through, every second and moment of your day, especially now when you walk with God, God doesn't know or has foreordained. He's foreordained his eternal plan. And this, of course, includes the creation, the universe, man, in his image, the angels and archangels, all those around the throne. It even includes Adam's fall into sin, the plan of redemption, the rise and fall of all nations, all that we read in history, even the crucifixion of Christ. It includes every event of history. From the time of the creation of man. Every movement on planet Earth has been foreordained of God. That is absolutely mind-boggling. You can't even begin to calculate or even start with that. The stars, the elements, nature, everything that is moving and evolving is predestined by God. And what is interesting, that through God's plan, his sovereign plan, he even gives man choices and actions. That is why he placed Adam in the garden. He had a choice. He had freedom, a free will, which God even has given. Even though God has foreordained all things, planned all things, he's not responsible for the cause of sin or evil. Because he gave man free will. And yet he has predestined all things, including man's free choices and actions. And that's why your actions never take God by surprise. God had to predestine man's freedom to choose good and evil. Else man would be like an animal or like a robot, not able to glorify God in his right choices. You see, only man can glorify God intimately, in understanding. Animals can't do that. And here we see why he says, the apostle here, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How can we ever doubt with what we have just talked about? It's absolutely profound. And he says, not only that, but he says, I'm going to help you with this. When you struggle, here it is in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So he says, I've helped you. I'm helping you to pray, to bypass your mind that so often is under attack, that your spirit can pray the prayers of the Holy Spirit, direct the will of God, predestined for you. And some of you are not using your tongues as you should be, because this will help you. It helps you to overcome, to stay with it, to stay focused, to stay in relationship with God. And that's why there's no such thing as chance, good luck, or anything like that that you hear. You even hear saints say. You know, our flesh, feelings, emotions, which we talk so often about, will not understand God's ways and God's providence that brings you into all of these things. This is why I keep saying, don't get your flesh, your emotions in the way. Because he says we know that all things work together for good. You might not feel too good. You might be battling. But that's got nothing to do with what we read here. I know that even if I'm off colour, I don't feel well, I still know that all things work together for good. Because God loves me. He doesn't think evil towards me or any wrong motive. Not at all. And the Holy Spirit has come teaching us, for us to understand this, because this is what gives us a stand of faith, a security in God. And that when the trials and the tests come, they don't knock us over. They may be hard, I'm not saying they're not, but they do not take you by surprise. In actual fact, it's often the leading of the Holy Spirit that brings us into trials. Read what it says here in verse 14 of Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. And he says that we go through trials and tribulations. He talks about here from verse 18 onwards, how that we groan within ourselves. How groaning, creation is groaning. Everything is under trial and testing and labour. Just like the labour pains of a woman giving birth to a child. Because you're being led by the Spirit. And so if you're led by the Spirit, you're discerning the times that we live in. You are seeing the great falling away now that is taking a place. The Spirit should cause these intercessions within you. Not just for yourself, but for what we are seeing, what we are hearing. And this is why in our prayer meetings now, how much we are led now to pray for government, to pray for world situations and what we see. And rightly so. Because this is what sons, daughters do. They take on that responsibility. They see beyond themselves. So much of Christendom is just praying for me, myself, what I'm going through, what the family's up to, what the children are doing. And all of that has a place, don't get me wrong. But when you begin to read Romans 8, it's far bigger and greater. It causes you to take your eyes away from yourself, your circumstances, and to see the bigger picture. That's what it's all about. It's nothing here about I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to pray how I want to pray. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nothing at all. This great chapter here is talking about walking in the Spirit. Seeing from God's perspective. This is talking about the world that is still bound and held by the powers of darkness and Satan, who deceives, who comes like an angel of light. All of it's groaning under the pressure as God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And he says the Spirit within us will make those supplications and intercessions. God has never saved us in FGA to sit and contemplate and look at our navels. You have missed what this assembly and teaching and deeper life of the Spirit is about. It is to make you sons, daughters of God, to grow up, to mature, to start to take on the prayers of the Holy Spirit. What burdens God? How God feels? That is what this is all about. And you will never move on until you know that all things work together for good in your life, in everything. The moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, where you're conscious, that is, everything is working together for good. Why? Because God foreknew. And not only that, he has predestined. Everything is done for the glory of his Son. We do everything unto Jesus, that he will be glorified. And that is why his nature, his everything that he is now placed within us for his glory. It's not about me anymore. He wants to get us free of all these petty things that we get so caught up in, to get free from this, to be able to see what really pertains to the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of self. This is the greatest challenge for the church now to get delivered from. Because I see it online. I see it, all these writings, these Christians that write. It's nothing but centered around themselves. They have no vision of the greatness and bigness of God and what pertains to the kingdom. But we have, and we're able to preach it and teach it. And as a result, some are responding. I've just given them the kenosis experience, where you empty yourself like Christ emptied himself in Philippians 2:5. Most of them have never, ever heard of it, never taught it. That is the state of teaching today in much of Christendom. And yet you have been fed on this for years. This is nothing new to us. I am so aware what God has blessed FGA when I go on and I see this. But it also scares me sometimes, the responsibility that we have. And when we read this in Romans 8, and what he's saying to us, what the apostle was experiencing, knowing that everything is working together for good. It's not by chance or coincidence or whatever. God has decreed this. There are things in my life, yes, I don't like it in the flesh, but God has decreed it. And I know I won't come to any harm because he's gone before. He's prepared the way. He wouldn't allow you or me to go through this. There's always a purpose and a plan behind it. And when you come through, you see the bigger picture that glorifies God and the testimonies that come out of it. It's very difficult, I know, when you go through a trial because you're self-centered. You're looking at it. You're in it and through it. It's hurting. It's confusing. It can be frustrating. It brings all the wrong things out of us. But when we come through eventually and everything calms down and then God scrapes away all the dross, there you see the wonderful silver and the gold and a reflection of Christ. Then you see the bigger picture. Why? Because we're conformed to the image of his Son. The image of his Son is in you and me. And he must see that image. And he knows how to see that reflection. Because the Father sees us perfect in the Son, as though we've never sinned. There's some of the mysteries of our salvation in God. And so being led then by the Spirit, they cause these prayers and intercessions within us. Never ever try and control this. And that's why we speak in tongues, so that tongues cannot be controlled. These prayers and intercessions cannot be controlled by our unbelief or our confusion in our mind. But our spirit is praying the power of God through us, the perfect will of God through us. You cannot be your own boss when you are praying in the Spirit. And that's why. And this is why we don't plan our lives, our futures, and whatever we do, we take it each day and walk with the Lord. And all our circumstances are in the mighty hand of God. And that's why we don't think it's strange. And when we start to think it's strange, then we miss it. And we won't always be able to pray effectively. But we're to allow the Spirit to pray through us, to pray through every situation. And then you begin to see the breakthroughs. I've had to learn this one right from the word go. Particularly as a preacher and teacher, because I'm not aware of the words I'm going to speak that come out. But I have to birth it through by the Spirit and then allow the Spirit to do that work on how he wants me to interpret his word. And of course, he uses us, he uses our character, our personality. And I have my responsibility of learning the word, but he takes all of that and it's like he puts it all together and he can produce that what he wants us to hear. And it's the same with the gifts of the Spirit. He uses each of us, our characters, our personalities, these diverse gifts that he gives. And he works all of this, and he can, and the Spirit will work it through us that glorifies God. Don't ask me how he does it, but he does. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26? You know this well, 1 Corinthians 1, 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God calls the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That is what God has decreed. And he is God. You aren't going to change that. And that is the principle. How he works. How he saves us. How he's going to manifest himself. He's going to manifest himself through the foolish things of this world. How can God do that? How did God manifest himself through uneducated disciples? Fishermen who turn the world upside down. Here it is. Because he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. We have been predestined in the image of his son. That's how he does it. What does it say in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, and verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and we're getting the mind of Christ because we're learning his ways as he reveals them to us through his word, you see. And this is why he puts us amongst situations, in order for us to pray, to bring it before the mercy seat of God. So your life, your walk, who you meet, whatever situation, whatever goes on in the family, whatever your son or daughter is up to, whatever, God has given you the power of prayer to bring every situation before the mercy seat of God. And this is why I believe in household salvation. He's given you that authority, that power in the image of his son to speak your loved ones before the mercy seat of God. It's all part of the predestination plan of God. To pray for your neighbors, to pray for those whom God brings you alongside. But often, sometimes we're hindering the work of the Holy Spirit because our prayers are diverted onto other things, always onto myself, my needs, my wants, me, 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 me. And that's why we're not fruitful. And until we settle, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Until we experience that and settle that, we'll still be very consumed in ourselves. Why am I stressing so much of this? Because prayer is sacrificial in nature. God knows that prayer is not easy. God knows it's a challenge. That's why he said, my house is a house of prayer. But the key to breaking through in prayer is when you are not always putting yourself first. But you know that God will provide for everything in this world that you need in order that you can get your prayer life right for His glory. That you experience what we have read back in Romans 8 and verse 28. So that I know that all things work together for good. Because everything is according to His purpose. And He then shows us how we've been called. Let me remind you again, as we bring this to the conclusion, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, this should settle it for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Here it is. That should settle the whole matter. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. In who? In Jesus Christ. He is our inheritance. All that the Father blessed the Son in His flesh, in this life, He says, you partake also of that inheritance. Being predestined. There it is. He's ordered it. From the foundation of the world, He has decreed it over your life. That's why you didn't find it. It found you. According to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. He's working all of this in you and me and FGA. This is His handiwork. The potter and the clay. The potter's hands moulding, both individually and corporately. For what? We are predestined to the throne of God. Revelation 5, 6. Have you read that lately? Well, next time, if you're in faith, you believe that. When you start to read what is there around the throne of God, Jesus there glorified, you can confidently say, I'm there as well. That's speaking of me. That was written 2,000 years ago. But even then, that was speaking of me around the throne, part of the first fruits, the 144,000. Isn't that mind-boggling? Again, part of our inheritance. Why do we doubt with what we are facing, what we are predestined for? And I didn't even find it. God first loved me. He loved you. I don't know about you. I'm running out of words. I haven't got many more words to say. I think God has said it all. Has He not? Why? Because nothing is by chance with God. You're not an accident. It is a divine calling, a divine appointment, a divine meeting. God with us today speaking.